All right, let's turn over your Bible to the book of Philippians as we continue through chapter 1. Just kind of want to remind you of where we left off in these last couple of weeks, where Paul, again, he's in prison when he is writing the book of Philippians, and at some point he is not sure whether he is going to be to die or be able to be released, and he talks about this conflict that he has. We looked at last week as far as whether to remain in the flesh, to be able to minister the truth of the Word of God unto others, or rather to be with Christ, which of course is far better, but he obviously, as the Lord working through him, comes to the conclusion that he is going to be able to stay, to be able to further them in their walk and in their faith. And really, that's where we're going to pick up on today. We're just going to be covering verses 25 and 26 as we look at the confidence of Paul, and really just two points that we're going to see here, and then with Paul continuing, and we're going to spend some time in talking about that and the ramifications of all that, as well as Paul coming, as far as him coming back and being able to have direct fellowship, being released from prison, and how it's going to cause rejoicing. And so a number of things that we need to see here, but really verse 25 is going to be the crux of the matter today, because as we've been seeing, dealing with Paul, he's all about having Christ being magnified in his life. That's what he said. We looked at a couple of weeks ago, whether it be by life or by death, that Christ is going to be magnified. It was all about Jesus Christ. It was all about his name. 3 weeks ago, we talked about how he rejoiced no matter whether people were preaching Christ as a pretense for strife, or those who were doing it out of sincerity, he was rejoicing that the name of Jesus Christ is being preached, because it was all about the focus on Christ being glorified, being magnified in his body, and of course, for him to want to continue to stay on this planet at that time, as opposed to being in heaven with Christ, was not for the purpose of himself, it was for the purpose of being able to help others out. So as you look at Philippians chapter 1, and we'll look at these verses that we're going to see today, and then have a word of prayer and we'll get started, but if you look at verse 24 where we left off last week, it says this: "Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you." Again, its focus is on the Philippians. Its focus is on ministering the truth to other people, not on himself. And we pick up today in verse 25 and 26, and it says this: "And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again." And so, again, we're going to look at these two verses and really see the importance of what Paul has his confidence in and being able to continue and what that's all about. So let's have a quick word of prayer and we'll get started on what we need to see today. Father in heaven, again, I thank you and praise you for the day. I thank you for your word. It's so good just to be able to, each week, the verse by verse, come through the book of Philippians and see the things that you have shown us. Lord, I pray that you will calm my mind, my heart, get me out of the way. Lord, that you somehow would use me to communicate your word to everyone. Lord, that it's an important message today, and I pray that we would all have open hearts and minds to receive what you're saying, and that we go beyond just thinking that all Christianity is being saved and that's it. And go beyond just the thought of, well, I know I need to go to church, let me go to church. And go beyond just thinking, well, yeah, if I can get in the Word of God and read some, then that's fine. If not, then that's fine as well. To go beyond just, you know, I'll pray when I think about it. Lord, there's so much more that you have for us. There's so much more that you would have us to be able to do, to be able to be used of you, to bring you glory, to bring rejoicing, that people can rejoice in you because of what we decide to do in submitting our lives to you. Lord, help us to understand this message today. Help it to not be just another message. Help us to change. Help it to that this Word of God would work in our hearts to make a difference in our lives and the lives of those around us. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. There's really not a lot for me to say today. I'm going to be honest with you in communicating what we need to see here. There really isn't. But I hope the things that lay out would really work in your heart. It really is kind of a continuation from what we did in our question and answer Bible study and the questions that I asked. Or the answer with that. But here's what I want you to see. You look at verse 25. It says, "And having this confidence." I mean, Paul has confidence that he is going to remain. It wasn't time for him to depart and be with the Lord in heaven. We see that actually later in 2 Timothy chapter 4. He knew by that time when he was in prison a second time that that was the end result, that he would be with his Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He knew it was time to depart. But now he has confidence that he is going to remain. It says again in verse 25, "And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith." Again, we see how that the focus of this is for him to stay, to be able to help others out, to be able to help the Philippians to further their walk with the Lord, for them to be able to grow. And again, that is our vision this year, is having a vision to grow, having goals set that, you know, that the Lord has directed in our lives and shown us personally from the Word of God. What do I need to do to grow? How can I further my faith? How can I grow in my walk and relationship with the Lord, that at the end of 2020 we can look back and see the progression that we have grown in our walk and relationship, that we're not just stagnant, just not staying in the same place, not just being satisfied with, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, I go to church, that's all there is to it. No, there's so much more to Christianity. And so Paul wanted to help in others being able to further their walk and their growth in the Word of God, in their relationship with the Lord. Now the word that I want to really focus on in this verse is the word continue. To continue. Because we live in a day and age that so often that we don't continue. We start something, but we don't finish it. We get distracted by something else, or all of a sudden it's not important anymore. There's some other shiny new thing that we need to focus on, and we don't continue the things that we start. And it's unfortunate that there's too many Christians that really don't continue after they accept Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. They're satisfied with just being saved. They're going to heaven. That's obviously, praise God, that's a great thing. But this thing called Christianity is a lot more that God has for us. It's laid out in the Word of God. But it takes for us to continue in that. To continue to want to grow. To continue to want the Lord to work in our lives to be able to accomplish the things that He has for us. Now we're going to go through a few verses in dealing with this aspect of continuing. Paul is going to continue so he's able to minister and to help somebody else grow in their walk with the Lord. Well, let's see this. It's not the only time we see something like this from the Apostle Paul in wanting to continue. I want you to go back to the book of Acts. We're going to look at a few references in Acts, and not too many, but I want you to start out in Acts chapter 14. Acts chapter 14, and we're going to pick it up in verse 21. Acts chapter 14, starting in verse 21. This is the context of Paul and Barnabas going on what they call their first missionary journey. They leave Antioch and they're going to preach the gospel to other areas and other regions. And so they do that. There's a number of different cities and so forth that they go to. We see people saved. They go through some persecution, a lot of things. Paul at one point was stoned and left for dead, but obviously he wasn't dead. Gets back up and goes back into the city, continues to preach. I mean, talk about continuing. I mean, it's a great trip that they had. And so they're coming back to the end of this, and they, you know, they're going to revisit the cities that they went to. So you pick it up in Acts chapter 14, verse 21 and 22. It says this, "And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them," notice, "to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God." Now, this is, again, a verse that we probably don't like to really read because it talks about they're through much tribulation that we're going to enter into the kingdom of God. Nobody likes to hear that. You know what? It's going to be a time of suffering. It's going to be a tough time. All right? But this is the reality. If you're living for the Lord, you're going to go through sufferings. I mean, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12, it says, "Yea, that all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." All right? If you're living in this world, living for Christ, you're going to go through some things. And you see here, Paul says, again, in verse 22, it says, "confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God." In other words, I mean, that's part, I mean, the reward is incredible. The Bible talks about it, being able to rule and reign with Christ as we suffer these things. But he's encouraging them, exhorting them to continue in the faith. It's not enough just to be satisfied with being saved. God has a purpose. He's left you here for a reason. You think about it. It's like, if it was meant for you just to get saved, then God would have taken you to heaven from the moment you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. Your work on earth is done. But that's not the case. He leaves us here for a reason, to be able to grow in that, to continue in the faith, to be able to, again, accomplish the purpose that God has for us in our life. I want you to look over in chapter 15 of Acts. Acts chapter 15 and look down in verse 35. Acts 15 and verse 35. At this point, you see where Paul and Barnabas have returned back to Antioch, and they're still ministering the word of God in Antioch, their key church, their key city. It says this down in verse 35. Again, Acts 15:35, it says, Paul also and Barnabas continued in Antioch, continued doing what? Teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. I want you to really look at that verse. Because it's easy for us to look and say, obviously, Paul and Barnabas, they're preaching and teaching the word of God. They're continuing to do that because, he's an apostle, all right? Then that makes sense. But notice what else it says in verse 35. It says, Paul also and Barnabas continued in Antioch teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. In other words, it wasn't just Paul and Barnabas' responsibility for the teaching and the preaching of the word of God. There were many in that church in Antioch that were teaching and preaching the word of God. And indeed, God commands us, every believer, to be able to what? Teach the word of God. It's not just for one or two people to do that. All right? And this is an important thing. It's like, really, the question I'm going to have for you, now, I'm not supposed to say it now, I want you to think about, not just today, but through the week, is God able to use you to be able to further somebody else's faith? Is God able to use you to help somebody else to grow? Is God able to use you to help so that you can teach and preach the truth? And again, when I say that, it doesn't mean that you're standing up in front of a pulpit, in front of a church, preaching the Word of God. Preaching is simply just proclaiming the truth of the Word of God. Can God use you to teach and preach the truth of the Word of God to somebody else to help them grow? That's what Paul did. Paul didn't say, well, I'm done, In chapter 14, I go all these places, and I get beat up and go through all this persecution, but I preach and I taught the Word of God, I'm done. He goes back to his starting city, his home church, and what does he do? He continues to teach and preach with others also. Look over in Acts chapter 18. Acts chapter 18, I want you to look down, starting in verse 9. It's after Paul going on a second missionary journey. All right? After being in Antioch for a while, teaching and preaching, goes back out again, sharing the gospel, teaching, discipling. Again, it's not enough just to teach salvation. I think that a lot of times, a lot of churches, their downfall, in a sense, or miss the mark, that it's always about salvation. Salvation, obviously, people need to be saved. But what happens once people are saved? They need to continue. They need to grow. Churches need to be teaching and equipping people in the Word of God to grow. In Acts chapter 18, notice verse 9 through 11 says this, Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night, interesting enough, by a vision. What's our vision this year? It says, Be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace. For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in the city. And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. A year and 6 months, a year and a half, teaching and preaching. The Lord gives a vision, shows up to him in the night. All right, and that's always key in the Bible. The night generally kind of references, kind of metaphorical in dealing with going through trials and going through tribulations. That's the situation here. There's a lot of spiritual warfare that's going about, especially in Ephesus and so forth. You see that going into chapter 19. Obviously, we don't have time to deal with that right now. But what is the Lord? He gives Paul a vision, gives him direction, and he tells him, "Don't be afraid." All right, he says, "But speak." All right? And hold not thy peace. Say something. How many opportunities do you have in a week to be able to say something to somebody about the truth of the Word of God, but when you don't do it because you're afraid? What is the Lord telling Paul? Hey, don't be afraid. Also pick up from this. Man, just solve this. Just get in. This is the same Apostle Paul that's been for the last few chapters preaching and teaching the Word of God in the midst of persecution.
But the Lord shows up to him at night and says, hey, don't be afraid. If the Lord is telling Paul not to be afraid, that means what?
Paul must have been a little bit of afraid.
Aren't we all? I understand. It's like, man, well, what if they laugh at me? What if they, you know, what if I have situations that happen to me because I say something and, you know, and get in trouble? Look.
I'm not saying, when you're at work, you need to work. But if somebody, and you have the time on a break, whatever the case is, after work, whatever, they, before work, whatever the situation, lunch break, whatever, they ask you a question. They come to you with an issue and a problem. And you know what the Word of God says. You have the ability to be able to show them and help them in the Word of God with their problem. You shouldn't be afraid to say something. Don't hold your peace. Why? The Lord's with you. What did Paul do after this? Verse 11, again, still in Acts 18. And he continued there a year and 6 months teaching the Word of God among them. He does what the vision that the Lord gave him to do. Don't be afraid, Paul. You continue. You speak. Don't hold your peace. For a year and 6 months, Paul does that in this area, among them. Continues. And that's what the Lord wants us to do, is to continue. I want you to go over to 1 Timothy chapter 4. As we continue to look at this message, this verse. And as you make your way there to 1 Timothy chapter 4, I mean, Paul is talking to his son in the faith, Timothy, who's pastoring in Ephesus, a place that, again, Paul spent a lot of time in. And key in this chapter is dealing with doctrine, key in this book, 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, is the importance of doctrine. And we live in a day and age in Christianity where doctrine is not important. You know, it's just, as long as we have a kind of a feel-good kind of message, you know, and let's entertain some people, then let's call it good. Of course, don't forget to collect the money and all that. That's not what the church should be about. Let's make the church more like the world so we can get people from the world to come in and make them feel comfortable. That's not what the church is all about. It's about being equipped in the truth of the Word of God and understanding what God has for us. All right? In chapter 4... at 1 Timothy, Paul's warning them, I mean, God's warning about dealing with being careful of false doctrine and so forth. And the last verse of this chapter is what I want you to look at. I mean, there's so many good things in this chapter, but the last verse, verse 16, is what I want you to focus in on right now. It says this, verse 16, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself, Timothy, and them that hear thee. Save, what do you mean? We're not talking about save for our salvation from hell. I mean, that's already done. Timothy's saved. The people that the church that Timothy is preaching in, they're saved. They've accepted Christ as Lord and Savior. So what are we talking about being saved from? Saved from deception. That's what this chapter talks about. There's a lot of deception out there, a lot of bad doctrines out there. And what, Timothy, you need to do is continue in the doctrine laid out in the Word of God. Continue in it. Don't stop, but continue. One of the reason why Christianity and churches are not effective like they need to be in the world in reaching people and growing people is because they have not continued in the doctrine. Oh, I may offend somebody. Or it's like, well, you know, there's so many things that, well, they say this, they believe this, well, we believe this over here, and so forth and so on. It's like, well, let's just come to the Word of God. What does it say? There's doctrine that's clearly laid out here. But churches that want to continue in the doctrine because, well, you know, we might be too offensive to the world if we actually teach that. I shouldn't say too much about hell. People don't want to hear about hell. That's just too negative. It's a reality. Heaven or hell. There's no in-between. There's no purgatory.
There's no just kind of wandering the earth for a while. When you die, you're going to heaven or you're going to hell. And it's only through the Lord Jesus Christ that you're able to go to heaven. It's not Buddha. It's not Islam. It's not Hinduism. It's not spirituality. It's not paganism. It's not anything. It is only one way. The Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. John chapter 14 and verse 6. One of the great I am statements. Well, that's just too, non-inclusive. Actually, it's very inclusive. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son that whosoever, that's inclusive. But if we mention anything about God or the Word of God, oh, you can't do that. You're going to offend somebody. I have no problem talking to people that are Muslim, people that are Mormon, people that are Catholic, people that are homosexual. I have done all of that through the years that I've been saved. I'm not hating on them. I'm not being bigoted toward them. But they ask questions of me, I'm going to sit down and share what the Word of God has to say. And do everything I can to try to help them understand the Word of God. If they accept, praise God. If they don't, praise God. I did what I can do. Leave the door open. Maybe another day they come back and talk to me about it. It's inclusive. But we get so brainwashed by the world and things like that, that we dare not say anything. What does God tell Paul? Don't hold your peace. Speak. What does Paul tell Timothy? Continue in the doctrine. Continue. Don't stop. Because it'll save yourself and those that will hear you. I want you to go to 2 Timothy chapter 3 real quick. 2 Timothy chapter 3. So I don't really have too much to say. I just want to reiterate over and over, and these are not all the verses that we can talk about continuing. I've got a couple more anyway. In 2 Timothy, in chapter 3, again, Paul talking to Timothy, and this is when Paul's in prison the second time. This is when he knows that he is going to die. This is the last words of the Apostle Paul. I mean, think about the last words of a person be pretty important. You know, if you have an opportunity, you know, somebody's deathbed and the last things they're saying, you're gonna hold on to it. Well, this is Paul's last words. You know, he knows that he's getting ready to be beheaded. That's how Paul dies. Nero beheads him, the emperor of Rome. So he's telling his son in the faith, Timothy, I mean, this thing to hold on to. And you can imagine that these are very dear to Timothy. Notice what it says in verse 14. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14 through 17. Says this. And in the context of how bad it's going to be, because verse 13 talks about how there's evil men and seducers are going to get worse and worse. This is what he tells them in verse 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. You say, Charles, now why are you reading all of that? I mean, verse 14 had the word continue in there. It talked about continuing into things. But the reason why I wanted to read all the way through the end of the chapter, because it shows growth. And growth is not going to happen if you don't continue in the truth of the Word of God. And part of that is going to be, you need doctrine. We need reproof. We need correction. We need instruction in righteousness so that God and His Word can bring us to the place that we're perfect in God's eyes to be able to minister to others. That's what the Bible word perfect is all about. Truly furnished unto all good works. It doesn't mean that you're without sin. But you're at a maturity level that God can use you to reach others, to be able to help others. It's like Paul was going to continue for the Philippians' furtherance and joy of faith. Continue. Continue. Again, our vision this year is having the vision to grow. What has God laid in your heart
saying, you know what, these are some areas you need to work on to be able to grow. Here's some things I want you to do. Here's some things I want you to focus on this year so you're able to grow. And there's going to be some things that God is going to give us in doctrine, things that we need to understand that we're going to be held accountable for. There's going to be things that God's going to reprove us. Hey, Charles, that's wrong. You see it in the Word of God. Yes, Lord, that's right. Now let me correct you, Charles. Right? I see that. Let me give you some instruction. Why does God want that to happen in my life, in all of our lives? So we can grow to the place that we can be used of Him to further someone else. We're going to see that a lot in Philippians, about the focus is not on me, 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 I. The focus is on bringing God to glory by helping others out. We'll see that over and over and over again when we get to chapter 2. How can I help somebody else? In the world today that we're so selfish, what it's all about me, what can I do to help me, so forth, and we don't even think about others, or we just use others to be able to try to help you. No. It's about legitimately, how can I help somebody else out, further somebody else along. I want to go to one more verse in dealing with continue before we go back to Philippians. I want you to go to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, and we'll pick it up in verse 22 and read to verse 23. It's in the middle of the sentence, we're talking about how what we have in dealing with Christ and what He's done for us on the cross. Why don't you pick it up in Colossians chapter 1, verse 22 and 23. Because this really gets and speaks to, ultimately, when we stand before the Lord Jesus Christ at the judgment seat of Christ. This is for every Christian, it's not for everybody in the world. This is a judgment specifically for those who have accepted Christ as Lord and Savior. That when the rapture happens or the resurrection of the body of Christ, that's where we go. We go to the judgment seat of Christ. We get judged for the service, the things that we have done in this body. We'll have more to say about that as we come through the book of Philippians this year. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 22, it says this. It says, in the body of His flesh, through death, speaking of Christ, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. That is the goal that Paul's talking about in dealing with the Colossians and working with those that he works with, that, again, not just the church of Colossae, but others, that he wants to be able to present them, as it says here in verse 22, at the end, it says, to present you holy, unblameable. There's nothing to cause any to be blamed. We've talked about that already in the book of Philippians, chapter 1. Unblameable, unreprovable in His sight. That when we get to the judgment seat of Christ, that the Lord has nothing to reprove us for, nothing to blame us for, that we're holy, that we are, again, blameless and all that. That's how we should want to be presented and come to the judgment seat of Christ. That we don't have to worry about having to deal with anything that we've done wrong in the body. But notice what verse 23 says. If we want to be presented holy, unblameable, unreprovable in His sight, it says this in verse 23, if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature, which is under heaven, whereby Paul am made a minister. If you continue. You want to be presented holy, unblameable, unreprovable in His sight. It's only going to happen if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. So if you do not continue, then I don't think we're going to be at the judgment seat of Christ unblameable, unreprovable. There's going to be blame. There's going to be reproof. There's going to be loss. You don't lose your salvation. You can lose your opportunity to rule and reign with Christ for all eternity. If you continue, if you're not moved away from the faith. Now let me just speak to you. All right? As believers in Christ, we all can have our bad days. We can all stumble, fall. But what do you do? Are you going to get back up? I remember the last time I experienced this was a couple of years ago. Trish and I, we went down and visited with our friends to Mexico. And so there, you know, Gulf of Mexico, you know, on the beach, you know, obviously I need to work on my tan, you know. Kind of getting light, I gotta, you know, so anyhow, you know, but, you know, you're getting hot, you know, so instead of working on my tan, so I'd get up and go into the water, you know, the waves were coming in and stuff like that, and me being the karate guy, I always like every once in a while I'd get out there somewhat deep, and I would get in a stance and see how I could do when the waves are coming in. And the waves, I mean, you know, the cruise ocean liner goes by out there, the waves come in and stuff like that, and knock me down. What do I do? Well, I'm going to get back up. Continue to stand. You know, and I'll do that for a while. And then some big wave come in and knock me down. What am I going to do? I'm going to get back up. Try to continue to stand. And just work on that over and over and over again. All right? That sort of thing. A little bit of karate training on vacation by use of the ocean. There's always times that we're going to not get knocked down. There's always times that we're going to do something wrong. But what do? When that happens, are we just stay there and wallow in that? Or are we going to get back up, deal with it biblically, and continue in the faith? Continue. I'm not sitting here or standing here preaching, but you know that you've got to be quote unquote perfect without sin, and that you never. I mean, honestly, that's the goal. That's the desire. But when you fall down, it's like get back up. Continue. Continue. We understand this from any event, sporting event, running a race. I mean, that's probably the best analogy. You can do well for most of the race, but if you stop, if you don't continue, are you going to win? No. It's not like this day and age we talk about participation trophy. You're going to get a trophy just because you showed up. You know, you get an A because you know how to write your name on a paper, and that's it. All right? You got all the spelling words correct, even though you really didn't spell them correctly. You know, it was close enough. I mean, that's the kind of day and age we're in. All right? No. God understands. There's a great psalm, Psalm 103. He talks about understanding how frail we are and that we're made of dust, and He pities us. God understands that we're going to have bad days, that we're going to fall down. The issue is, what do we do once we fall down? Are we going to deal with it biblically? Are we going to learn from it, grow from it, and get back up and continue? Continue! Just don't stop. Let's go back to Philippians. Chapter 1, verse 25. Paul has confidence that he's going to continue and continue for the purpose of helping others. I want one more thing, and then we've got to move on to the next verse. He says, having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance, helping them to grow. And it says, and something else, not just one thing, and, notice this, joy of faith. Remember those references that we talked about, Paul continuing to teach and to preach and to help them and to continue and encourage them in their faith and so forth and all that? It's like, Paul has the confidence that he's going to continue. Why? For their furtherance, for them to grow in their relationship with the Lord, but also for them to have joy of faith. Joy is not just being happy. I was happy to come home from work a little early and grab a couple of hours of sleep before coming to church. I mean, I was happy to do that. But I was not happy when my alarm went off and my little dog Maximus, because I had him on the bed, you know, and he comes up licking me all over in the face and attacks my neck, and he's trying to lick my ear. Our dog is an ear licker. Right? I wasn't so happy then. Happy emotion, feeling. But you know what? Through it all, I have joy. I may be tired. I know that once I'm done preaching, once I'm done, I know I'm going to be tired. I'm going to be ready to go back to bed and so forth and all that. All right? I may not be happy that I'm tired, but you know what? I have joy. And where does the joy come from? The joy comes from the faith. The joy is not about some just an emotional type experience like being happy or sad. I can be sad but still have joy
Because joy comes from the faith that I have, the faith that God has given me from His Word. Romans 10, chapter 17, one of our theme verses for our church, Faith Bible Church. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So in order for me to grow, for all of us to be able to grow in our faith, it's a matter about spending time in the Word of God. And what is that going to produce by what we see in this verse here? Joy of faith.
When my wife and I had our seventh miscarriage, when we were in Canada at the time, living there, I wasn't happy about the situation. It was a sad situation. We really wanted to have another kid. But there was joy as the doctor passes me after leaving the emergency room and just, I mean, he was the worst bedside manner ever. He literally, as I'm standing there, he comes by, yeah, you lost the baby. And kept on walking. Didn't even stop. But I still had joy. You know why? Because I was spending time in the Word of God. It happened to be in the book of Job that morning. In chapter 3. I mean, it couldn't have been a better chapter for me. Even though it was a sad situation, there was joy because I had faith in the God that's going to take care of the situation and comfort me. Comfort my wife. It's going to be okay. That's joy, folks. And the source of that joy? Faith. What's the source of faith? The Word. People talk about, I just don't have faith. Are you in the Word? Are you reading in the Word of God? Are you studying the Word of God? Are you spending time with God in the Word? Because that's where your faith comes from, and that's where your joy is going to come from. This world has nothing that's going to ever offer you that's going to give you joy. Eternal joy. It may make you happy for a little bit. Joy. The world can't give you that. Move on to our last point here. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 26. So again, I'll read from verse 25. It says, "And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith. That your rejoicing," notice how that picks up there, from joy of faith to rejoicing, "that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ from by my coming to you again." In other words, with Paul still remaining on planet Earth and being able to further them, it's going to cause more joy and rejoicing in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's gonna be able to give others more rejoicing in Christ. Not about him. It's not about Paul. It's about, again, glory being to the Lord Jesus Christ. That rejoicing is going to take place. Now you look at this in verse 26. Again, it says that your rejoicing may be more abundant. I want you to just look ahead real quick to chapter 2. Like I said earlier, that we're going to, when we look at this chapter, we're going to see a lot about people sacrificing themselves to be able to help others out. And there's a guy that's named Epaphroditus that Paul ends this chapter with, and talking about how he was nigh unto death as far as being able to minister the truth of the Word of God, and almost got him killed and he became sick and so forth. But he recovered, and notice what it says down in verse 28. So Philippians chapter 2 and verse 28, it says this, "I sent him," being Epaphroditus, "therefore the more carefully that when ye see him again, ye may rejoice that I may be the less sorrowful." That, again, Epaphroditus coming to them, especially after being sick and dying to death, that it would cause more rejoicing. Rejoicing in the Lord because of Epaphroditus and everything that he is. Just like Paul and everything that God is using him to be able to further people and help them to grow in a walking relationship would cause more rejoicing in Christ. It's about that connection with people. You look at chapter 4, Philippians, verse 1. It says, "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, and longed for, my joy and crown. So stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved." We've seen this already, but I just want to point out again, it's like Paul wasn't about just giving out facts and figures of the Word of God. It was about having relationships with people that he longed to be with. He wanted to spend time with them in sharing the truth of the Word of God, and they had that mutual sharing of faith. Truly, that is what Christianity is all about. That's what fellowship, biblical fellowship, is all about.
And we live in a day and age, like I say so many times, that we do everything we can so we don't have to have contact with people.
We shop, we do our banking, we do everything. There's so much we can do with the great technology that we have in the world and never have to deal with a person.
And I understand the convenience. I like being able to go to a gas station no matter what time it is. I'm going into work, I work nice and nice, I can pull into the gas station. I got my credit card, everything's all wired to the internet, and you know, and I can get my gas and never have to deal with a person and be on my way. I mean, I understand that convenience. But at the same time,
where I get my gas at Dillon's, which probably most of us do down here in this neck of the woods because of the points and all the other stuff, get some few cents off of our gas. There's always somebody in that booth there most of the time, except for, I guess, late at night. I have no idea where that person's at spiritually. Nor will I ever know that because I never personally make contact with them. How many cases that we just... Our technology, I'm telling you, can be used for great good, but also going to be very detrimental. A lot of people don't even know how to have a conversation these days with people because they're not used to it. The extent of their conversation is texting. Never face-to-face contact. Now, again, I enjoy the technology. There's ways I'm able to minister. It's nice to be able to call friends in Canada, be able to call them and spend time with them, or get Facebook, you know, and all that other stuff, and Snapchat and everything else. I mean, all these different social media type things that we can do, and we can share verses and prayer requests, and I enjoy it. But there's something about face-to-face contact. And for all of us who work, we're around people all the time. But do we long to be there to be able to try to minister truth? Paul, man, he said, you're my joy, you're my crown. I'll give you one more reference and we'll be done. I want you to actually go over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And I want you to pick it up down in verse 17. We're going to read to the end of the chapter. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, we're going to pick it up in verse 17. It's the same idea about the crown, the joy. It's about other people. Right. In 1 Thessalonians again 2, verse 17, it says this, "But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavor the more abundantly to see your face with great desire." It's not like, you know, sometimes on holidays we have to get together with family you really don't want to get together with. Paul longed, great desire to spend time. We've seen this with, look, so many different churches, just even in this message today, so many different groups of people that Paul longed and had a desire to spend time with them. We move on, verse 18, it says, "Wherefore, we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us." Spiritual warfare is a real warfare. Satan doesn't want you to get together with somebody, share the truth with them. Satan doesn't want people to continue to grow in the faith. He's going to do things to try to hinder that. Happens all the time. But it says this, verse 19, 20, it says, "For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ that is coming? For ye are our glory and joy." Let me break this down for you, hopefully nice and easy that you can understand. What gave Paul joy was understanding the investment of the Word of God in people's lives so that they would grow. So when it comes to the time when they stand before the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ, that they are rewarded. That's what this passage is dealing with. That's what, going back to Philippians chapter 1 and verse 26, is dealing with. That they, the Philippians, are going to be able to rejoice more in Christ because Paul is still with them and able to further, to help them, to minister, and to grow in the Word of God. Paul longed to spend time with people face to face. It's about relationships. And you know how Satan is hindering today? We get so caught up. I'm speaking to myself. Easy for us to get caught up in our little games, looking at our computer screen, our phone. But I'm not preaching to you. I'm preaching to me. I gotta watch what I'm doing. It's so easy to get caught up in. I'm the kind of guy that likes to finish things. So if I got like 5 games of Words of Friends, I like Words of Friends. I don't like the Candy Crush. I didn't even play Candy Crush. I got my new phone. It's automatically loaded up there like I want to play Candy Crush. I mean, obviously, Sprint don't know me. I can care less about Candy Crush. But Words of Friends, I look at that. Well, that's exercising my brain. I'm thinking of different words. So if I got 5 games, I'm like, I got to finish all these games. You know? So it's their turn. But it's like, I can be sitting there finishing a game and maybe there's something my wife and I need to be talking about. Or maybe somebody at work, maybe I need to get time and attention, I need to do something. Whatever it is. My point is, we get so easily caught up in our technology, we forget how to have a good conversation with somebody. And for the purpose for us, as believers in Christ, to be able, hopefully, to share truth, to help further them. Whether it's the person that needs to understand coming to Christ, our fellow brother and sister in Christ that, again, need that fellowship. That's what Paul desired and longed for. Wasn't happy when Satan hindered that process. It's not a difficult message today. It's not hard to understand. It's a matter of we're willing to continue. Continue to learn and grow in the Word of God. To continue our walk in relationship with the Lord so that we're able to turn around and do the same for others, to further somebody else along. That fellowship. To have rejoicing in that. So that's the question. Where are you at? Can God use you to further somebody else? If you're sitting there thinking that, well, there's no way. I don't know enough of the Word of God. As I was saying in the question and answer Bible study when I was praying at the end, I was 19 years old when I got saved. I really didn't grow up in a church where I was taught the truth of the Word of God at all. Didn't know a thing. Didn't know a thing about the Word of God. I'm not saying that I know everything about it now. I don't. Not even close. But I didn't know anything. When I accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, it's not like God came down and just beamed the Bible in my head and I just knew things. No. You know how I started? I just started reading. Started praying about it. The friends that I had, at the time I was at UMKC, Conservatory of Music, because I left after my freshman year being Charles Boyce that knew how to cuss with the best of them, have a good time, and came back talking about Jesus. What in the heck happened to Charles? But they would ask me questions. Questions I didn't know. I'll get back to you. Let me read up on that. My point is this. God can use anyone to continue to help somebody else out in the faith. This is a matter if you want to. If you're willing to. Willing to take time to open up and spend time with your Lord in the Word of God. Daily basis. Daily, yes, I'm saying daily. Every day, spending time in the Word. I'm not saying that you have to read half the Bible in one day. Spend some time every day. Consistency, continuing, is more important. I mean, what, in one sense, it's like you can read, oh, I read 5 different books of the Bible. I did that on Monday. Praise God. Awesome. And then a month goes by, you haven't even touched it. Which one's better, that or somebody's like, you know what, let me read a couple of verses today. Let me see what I can get, what the Lord's going to show me out of that. But they do it consistently every day. And it may take them forever to ever get through one book of the Bible, but at least every day they're doing something. Again, I know I'm not trying to step on anybody's toes or anything like that. I'm just telling you. That's what the Lord desires for you, to spend that time. Because He wants you to not only grow in your relationship this year, He also wants to use you to be able to help others. And it may be to a place that, you know what, you may not be in a place in the sense that you think that you can really help somebody else out this year. But when 2021 comes around, Lord willing, will you be ready then to start helping people? I guarantee you, if you don't do what you need to do in 2020, you're not going to be ready in 2021. And let me tell you something else. You're still here, right? It's like, Paul, you know what? I have confidence I'm going to continue. You're still here, right? This obviously ain't heaven. appreciate the church building, but honestly, there's a lot of things that we think, this ain't heaven. So we're still here on earth, right? If we're still here, I mean, God is saying, you know what? I still need to use every one of you. I can use every one of you to help somebody else out. There's people at your work. There's people in your family. There's people in your community that need to know the truth, and I want to use you to help further them. You know what it comes down to? If we are willing to continue in the faith or not. That's a question that you have to answer. I have to answer on a daily basis. Let's pray. Now, Father in heaven, again, I thank you and praise you for the day. Thank you for your word. Two verses, so much in it, didn't even begin to cover all of it and don't even understand all of it. But Lord, I pray that you take what you've shown us and let us think and meditate deeply on it and really examine ourselves, see where we're at. We're literally almost a quarter of the way done with 2020. It's March. By the end of March, the first quarter is done. What have we done? Have we grown since January 1st? And if not, why not? Are we willing to continue to open the Word of God and spend time in it or not? Are we willing to get that vision, that direction, that goal that you have for us this year? Are we willing to even sit down with you in the Word and prayer to see what we need to focus on? Are we willing to even do that, to trust you to do that? But it's not too late. We still have 3/4 of the year to go. Plenty of time to get up and continue in the faith. Lord, I pray that everyone that's hearing this message will be so desirous to open up their heart. Understanding is, you're not asking us that to be perfect without sin. Understanding it's not an excuse that we're going to go sin willingly, but we're going to make mistakes. But you just ask us to deal with it according to the truth of your word and get up and continue. Indeed, if you have used me in the last 32 years of being saved, you indeed can use anybody. I know me. You know me. It's no special pedigree to be used of you, to grow in you, to help others out. All it takes is a willing heart and mind, an open book, your word, willing to continue. Help that to be our attitude, indeed, our motivation, as far as our relationship with the Lord, understanding everything you've done for us, that, man, Jesus Christ didn't give up on us. He didn't get off the cross. He continued. We need to do the same. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.